Well, good morning, church. If you haven't heard this today, I want you to hear this. I am glad that you are here and welcome. I'm glad that you chose to worship with us this morning. Today, we're continuing our series on Psalms. And so far, we've talked about praying through the Psalms. And we've studied praise. We've studied thanksgiving. We've studied lamenting through prayer. And we're studying kingship. And today we're going to be talking about confidence and the confidence that we have in Christ. So before we get going, I want to pray. So bow your heads and pray with me. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies that are new each morning. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to gather as your body to learn more about you. Father, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth are pleasing to your sight. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start off today with this question. Have you ever had complete confidence in something or someone? Like, I'm talking like, you know, no matter what happens, that the outcome is going to be this. Whether that's a person, how they would react or act or how they would think, or if it's an idea that you have that you know to be true. There was this one time in college, it was my junior year, so it was 2019, spring semester, that me and seven of my housemates, the picture behind you, went on a backpacking trip. This is actually day one of the backpacking trip. We're happy, we're ready to go, and the next picture is gonna be the last day. So this is the last day after 5 days. The great news is you cannot smell this picture. If you had a chance to smell us then, you would be shocked at how bad we smelled. We walked into truck stops and people were like vacating the area until we left. It was a crazy experience. But while we were on this trip, we were in the Smoky Mountains. And so we were near Tennessee and North Carolina. We were right on that border. We were hiking the Appalachian Trail. And during this time, as we were driving out there, we entered into Georgia for a short bit. And so one of my friends says, "We're in Georgia, why not just go straight to Florida and go to the beach?" And I said, "Dude, you are ridiculous. There's no way that could happen." And he goes, "What are you talking about? It would be easy." And I said, No. Do you see? You have to go to Alabama first to get to Florida." And he goes, "What are you talking about?" And it's like, "Dude, Florida and Georgia do not touch at all. In fact, they don't touch at all. It goes Georgia, Alabama, Florida. Florida and Georgia don't touch." And now there's a map for everyone who is not geographically inclined. And you can tell Georgia obviously touches Florida in a crazy way. But I say that to say this. I had this confidence in something that I thought was true. And it didn't happen to be true. But that confidence led me to these actions where I argued for 15 minutes straight as my friend is playing Florida Georgia Line, the band, in the background. But I think that this illustrates a point, and that is when we have confidence in something, we believe it to be completely true no matter what it is. And so maybe for you, there's some things that you have confidence in, and for me, I have some things I have confidence in right now. As a Cowboys fan, I have confidence that they will not win the Super Bowl this year. It hasn't happened in my lifetime, and I don't know if it will happen in my lifetime. If I had an apple on stage, and if I was holding it, and I dropped it, you would have confidence that it would fall to the ground. So my question for you is, who or what do you have confidence in? Who or what do you have confidence in? Is it in your abilities? Is it in our knowledge? Is it in our education? Maybe it's our perspective or the experiences that we've had. Maybe you have confidence in your boss, a spouse, a parent, your child. There's a lot of things that we can have confidence in. And for me, it's easy to be confident in the things that I know and I know well, and in myself, in my own strength. It's because I'm familiar with those things. It's like going to a gym, and when you start working out or trying a new movement, it's awkward, it's weird, it doesn't feel right. But the more time you spend with it and the more you do it, the better you become at it. So today we're gonna be looking at Psalm 23 through this lens of confidence. And so, before we go too far into it, I wanna stop right there and say, if you have ever walked into Mardell or really any Christian bookstore, and if you've looked, you have probably seen a verse from this passage, either on a mug, on something with a sheep or a picture that shows still waters. I say that to say this is one of the most quoted and memorized verses of the Bible. So it's familiar with us. I mean, so much so that the other day I was watching a movie that was not a Christian movie at all. It was about a guy who was going to hunt monsters, and one of the characters started quoting verse 4. So I don't want us to lose the sense of what this psalm is about because of the familiarity that we have with it. Instead, I want to challenge us. I want us to lean in to see what the Lord wants to teach us today and not just say, well, I've heard all about this psalm. I already know everything about it. I know all the historical background. I know everything. Instead, I want you to show up with an open mind and an open heart to say, Lord, what is it you want me to hear today about your word? So with that, the 23rd psalm is easily placed in between the 22nd and the 24th. And this is a trio of psalms that are a part of the messianic psalms, or psalms about the coming Messiah or Jesus. And so the 22nd psalm is the psalm about the cross. The 23rd is a psalm about the crook or the shepherd. And the 24th is about the crown or the king to come. So think of it this way, it's the past and the cross, the present, the shepherd who's with us now, and the king that will come, the future. Or who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and who Jesus will be. Christ's redemptive work as the redeemer on the cross, as the shepherd who leads, and as the king of glory. So with that in mind, let's jump into Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. David, who's the author of the psalm, he was also a shepherd. Then he was anointed to become king and then went out and killed Goliath. And then after that was invited to the court of Saul. And then Saul got jealous, so he started trying to kill David, and David was running. And then eventually David became king. He's the author. And the psalm is starting off with this declaration of who God is, and this who God is would be very familiar to David. So much so that this was a role that David had in his lifetime. So David, knowing this role well as a shepherd, starts to reflect on who God is. And it's a confident statement that is pushing forward the rest of this psalm. So we're going to look at three characteristics of a shepherd today. And this isn't just all the characteristics that a shepherd has, but I think it's three prominent ones that Psalm 23 is pointing out. So if we continue with verse 1, I shall not want. This want right here should actually be translated, or it's better translated as I shall not need, meaning that all of our needs are met. So now we get to see that David is confident in the provision of the shepherd. David is confident in the provision of the shepherd. Any good shepherd knows that a sheep cannot take care of itself. It's part of their job description as a shepherd to sit there and be with their sheep and take care of their needs. So David has confidence that in every circumstance that he's had, that God is going to prove himself as provider. So then David goes on to say how the Lord does provide for him. So verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So we see this provision start in this green pastures and these still waters, a place where the biggest needs of the sheep would be met. And what's even cooler than this is still waters is indicating safety for the sheep. It's a safe place. So when a sheep's needs are met, they can relax. Specifically, when sheep are thirsty, they try to go and find water sources on their own. So they'll go to any puddle, any pothole, any water source that they can find, a raging river, and they will drink from it no matter how good or bad it is for them. So a lot of the times, if a shepherd doesn't lead them to these still waters, the sheep can drown or they'll get a parasite or bacteria. So the shepherd knows what's best for the sheep and provides a place for the sheep. I know in my life, it's hard for me sometimes to trust this provision. I like to lean on my own strength, my own wisdom, and this leads me to places where it feels like I'm drinking from these spiritual potholes, where I get this quick refreshment of, wow, I just got this drink, but then it leads me to this place where it's not okay. And so as I've been reflecting on these potholes and these things, I've had a few questions that have hit hard for me, and I want to ask these things to you. And the first is, what would it look like to have more confidence in God's provision in our life? For me, as I read this and I think about this question, I start to see my jealousy melt away because I'm confident in the things that I have, not the things that I want or the things that I think I want. I find myself more secure and more trusting in who the Lord is and the daily mercies that he has for me. The second question is, how can we remember and reflect on God's provision in our life? This allows us to see where God was faithful, and it allows us to see where God is still faithful. And the third is, where can we trust more in God's provision for our life? We all have these areas where we are holding on to him so tightly that we are trying our own way and we are not trusting in God's provision. So after this, David then goes on to say what trusting in the provision of the Lord looks like. So verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for him, his name's sake. So because of this provision, David's soul gets restored. There's a renewing of it. And there's a sense of rest that happens. And a trust because the shepherd is leading the sheep. And what's so cool about this is that the provision points back to the goodness and the testimony of the shepherd. This is all about the shepherd. It's all about what the shepherd did for the sheep. The sheep had nothing to do with it other than follow where the shepherd was leading. And so in this moment of provision, it points back to the character of the shepherd, and it brings glory to the shepherd's name. But what happens when we're walking and our reality doesn't look like these green meadows or these still waters? We're still following the guidance of the shepherd, but we're not seeing these green pastures with tons of food or this water that we can drink from because it's still. But instead, we look around and it's this dark place. Does that mean that David's saying we still don't have trust or confidence in God? Absolutely not. Let's look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a complete 180 from the images that we had at the beginning of the chapter. We go from these green pastures and these still waters to this dark valley where we're walking through, and it has the name Shadow of Death. Death is in the name. And to add to it, David is saying not if I walk through these dark valleys, he's saying when I walk through these dark valleys. It's not an if, it's a when. It's almost a guarantee. And I hear about a place like this and I get terrified. And if I was in David's shoes, I would say, I do not want to walk through those. And when I see those things coming, I say, I do not want to walk through that. Instead, I want to turn around and go back to the place that is green pastures and still waters. But following a shepherd's good care, we get to see an insight to what David has. The next line, it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So these are important tools here that for a shepherd. So a rod and staff would be used together for protection and correction. So the second thing that we can see that David is confident in is the protection of God. David is confident in the shepherd's protection. So as sheep walk through this valley, the shepherd is right there with them to protect them, which is why David has this radical view and different view where he doesn't have fear of evil. David doesn't name the evil that's coming his way. He doesn't know what's coming his way down the line. He just knows that he's walking through this valley of the shadow of death, and he knows that he's not going to fear what happens next because of who is with him. Again, that brings glory to the character of the shepherd. What strikes me about this is there's also not a timeline. David doesn't say that I'm going to walk one day through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no timeline for this. There's no timeline for when our valley will end. For some of us, it might last a few days, Others, it might be the rest of our lives until we get to heaven. And it's because in this world, there's sin and there's suffering and there's hard things. But we have a shepherd who loves and cares for us, who is walking alongside us, and who is still guiding us and protecting us through this. And so as we're in these valleys, we can still walk with the confidence that the Lord is with us. And I know for me in these seasons, it's hard. I like to look at him and say, why is this happening to me? Or how can I get my way out of this? Instead of saying, Lord, I know that you are here with me and I know that you are protecting me. So I've been asking myself these questions, and the question I've been asking myself is, how would our lives be different if we had confidence in the Lord's protection and provision, even when we are in the midst of suffering? When we don't look around and it doesn't seem like that's the case. I feel like after that, we would have the same idea as David, which is, I will fear no evil that's coming because I know who's with me and the provision that's there and the protection that's there. And this all kind of boils down to one thing, which is the presence of the Lord. So verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David rounds out this psalm, emphasizing the confidence he has in the shepherd's presence. He knows that goodness and mercy is going to follow him. And this word follow is actually better translated to chase or pursue. So David is saying that goodness and mercy are going to chase after him. They're going to pursue him like a heat-seeking missile solely dedicated to that target. It's not haphazard. Instead, it's very purposeful and intentional and deliberate. And what's cool is that we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy are going to be there. And this whole psalm, what it is it's this view of what kingdom living looks like. We get to trust in the provision and the protection and the presence of our Savior. And what life under the care of the shepherd looks like. It's going to end with us dwelling in the house of the Lord. David has confidence because he knows the shepherd is present in his life in every circumstance. So who is this providing, protecting, present shepherd for us? For the answer, we're gonna look at John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, this is Jesus speaking. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the one with these attributes. He is the one that David is writing about. So we're going to skip to verse 14. I am the good shepherd, Jesus doubling down there. I know my own and my own know me. For the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. As the good shepherd, Jesus lived a sinless life, was put to death on a cross and died for our sin. He took our punishment, the punishment that we deserve. The punishment, the death that we deserve that was on us because of our sins, he took and he suffered our wrath so that we can have mercy and we can have righteousness with God. Our good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Why? Because he knew his sheep and he cared for his sheep and he knew that his sheep could never do that for themselves. What he did points back to the character of the shepherd. And so my question for us now is, do we know him in return? Do we know Jesus in return, our shepherd? Psalm 23 is David having confidence in who the Lord is. And this comes from a deep, intimate relationship with him. It's not just about facts. It's not about spending time with the Bible. It's about spending time with God. It's about being in relationship with God. Growing up, I knew a lot about God in the Bible. I went to Sunday school. I went to a Christian school, so I could give you a brief history of what the Old Testament was and a brief history of what the New Testament was. I could tell you all the books of the Bible. I could tell you the 12 disciples of Jesus. I could tell you all these facts. I could even tell you attributes about God that I had studied academically. And it wasn't until junior year when something switched, when all my head knowledge started to turn into heart knowledge, which then turned into feet knowledge. I started spending time with God and not just spending time knowing about God or learning about God. And it changed my whole life. I started to become more like God, because the more time you spend with someone, the more you start to become like them. And as that happened, my life started to change and I started to gain more confidence in who God was as my provider, my protector, and his presence in my life. And this is part of the reason why I'm so passionate about youth, is because in my youth days, everything changed. A light bulb clicked, and it was because of people pouring into me. David is writing Psalm 23 with confidence because he has personally spent time with God. And as I close, I want to ask you a few similar questions to the ones I started with. Who or what do we have confidence in? Is it in ourselves? Is it in our abilities? Is it in our knowledge, our degrees, and our job, and our paycheck? Or is it in our shepherd? And if you say it's in your shepherd, then I want to ask you another question, which is, do we have complete confidence in our shepherd, the Lord of our life? And are we living that way? Are we walking like we have that complete confidence? Are we walking like we have a relationship with him? So as we leave here today, walk with the confidence in knowing who God is, and that through him, we have provision, protection, and presence. So bow your heads and pray with me. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that your word is able to be studied and taught. Father, I pray that as we leave here today, that we'd be more aware of the shepherd's presence, provision, and protection in our lives. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.